Genesis chapter 3, and we've been going through this, and I'm going to read it, I want to say one more time, but maybe two more times today, and maybe next Sunday too. You ought to have this just about memorized, at least I should, huh? I've read it so many times. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1 through 12, or 1 through 13. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made, and he said to the woman, "Has God indeed said, 'You shall not eat of every tree of the garden?'" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, 'You shall not eat of it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die.'" Then the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. And they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam said to his, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Verse 9, then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, "Where are you?" So he said, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree which I commanded that you should not eat?" Then the man said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree I ate." And the Lord God said to the woman, "What is it you have done?" And the woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." Dear Heavenly Father, as we continue in this passage of Scripture, I pray, Father God, that the fall of man would not be alive inside of us. We would be alive in Christ. That, Lord, where the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, you came to give us life and life more abundantly. And I pray that, Lord, as we are in this house, Lord, even as we would go out today, that, Lord, we'd leave in an abundant life. Lord, we leave healed, delivered, and made free in Christ Jesus. And that, Lord, the things of the fall of man would just grow strangely dim in our eyesight, Father. And that, Lord, we would be alive in Christ like never before. I pray for the richness of the kingdom of God, Lord, to just thrive inside of each one of us today in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Last week we talked about shame entering at the fall of man as sin entered the world. Adam and Eve felt shame of being naked, and they hid. And said, we need to stop hiding and come into the light, right? Jesus declares, "You are the light of the world." Amen. So since we're the light of the world, he says, you don't hide under a bushel. Amen. You shine. You be the light of the world. That's the thing. It's like he said, he likened it to being the city on a hill. That city on a hill you can see forever, from far away. That's how he likens us, that we're the light of the world, that the world can see that we are that light from far away. That people know Jeanette Barber is a Christian. Conrad Lepe is a Christian. Nancy Price is a Christian. David Tanner is a Christian. Because the light shines so bright that there's no question about it. And when the light shines, it means that we are walking in the Spirit. Amen. We're walking with the Lord. And there's so much that God has for us and has intended for us in living this life that I believe we haven't even begin to partake of what he has for us in the sense of what he wants to do for us. But we've, you know, when we're in sin, when we're sinning and we're walking in the shame and we're hiding, that does not get us where God intended us to be. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11, it says, "Furthermore, because," everybody say because. Y'all are quiet today. Because. "Because we are united with Christ, we have received an inheritance from God. For he chose us in advance, and he makes everything," say everything.
Everything.
Wow, you're waking up. "Everything work out according to his plan." He makes everything work out according to his plan. Because he has called us, we've received this inheritance from God, and he has chose us in advance so that he makes everything work out according to his plan. That means he is stirring us that the plan he has for your life, that he can see it come to fruition, and that we would do the very thing that we were created to do. And if you're not doing, if you feel like, well, I'm not there, I'm not doing what God created me to do, then I would charge you to get in line with that and start walking in the light. Be that child of the light. Walk in the Spirit. Amen? You were created for God's good purpose. Everything. He makes everything work out according to his plan. Not our plan, his plan. And so when we're submitted in the Spirit to him, he makes his plan. That's where Jawan is trying to take us to, that we worship out of our spirit. You know, it's easy to worship out of what you know. It's easy to sing the songs on the board. That's easy. Anybody could do that. Somebody that doesn't know Jesus can walk in and say, oh, they're singing this song, and go along with it, right? But to worship out of your spirit, not everybody can do that. And Jawan's, I feel like he's tugging us. Come on, church. Come on, church. But we need to get there, that we worship in the Spirit. We worship in truth, and we're not afraid to lift our voices. Now, what he did here today, I've done in China. And man, when I did it in China, whew. See, we have to be quiet in China, but they just can't. They can't help themselves. They got to shout. They got to let it come out. And that's what I believe God wants us to do. Take advantage of the freedom that we have in America and let it flow out of us, amen? That we begin to raise our voices in worship. You bring everything into the light. But if we fight against it, what God has, it's harder and it takes longer. Remember, their eyes were open, shame came in, and they hid. When we're walking in sin, this is what happens. So let's walk in the Spirit, amen, so we don't not fulfilling the lust of our flesh. Let's walk in the Spirit all the time. The next thing that happened was that they encountered God, and when they encountered God, God confronted their actions. We don't like that, though, do we? We don't like to be confronted about our actions or, you know. We like to be private. We like to be left alone. You know, there's some people that I hadn't seen, and so I've been texting them or Facebooking them or something if I don't have fun, and I just, hey, I miss you. Oh, well, I'm glad you missed me. You know, I want to know, if you're not going to be here, just call me. Say, hey, I had one lady that just became a member. She says, I'll be going out of town for 6 weeks. You know, she calls me and lets me know that she's going. I'm like, wow, praise God. That's awesome. Because there's that accountability. And then Jesus, you know, when confronted about their actions, Jesus said, did you eat? Or God said, did you eat of the tree of the garden? Did you eat of that thing I said don't do? Did you do exactly what I told you not to do? How many of you have ever done what God told you not to do? We all have done things that God has told us not to do. Instead of, yes, Lord, what could you imagine if they would have said, yes, Father, we ate of that tree. Please forgive us. I wonder if things would have been different right now. But the first thing out of Adam's mouth is, it was that woman. And that's number one. That woman, the blame. First thing he did was blame the woman. To point the finger at someone else for the issue that you're doing or you're going through. When I was in China, I was called upon to raise someone from the dead. Now, I'd been up for 38 hours. I get a phone call, and it was my friend John. He says, hey, somebody needs prayer. I said, what do you want me to do? He says, I'll pick you up in 5 minutes. I said, okay. So I went downstairs, and like I said, this is when I was on the run from the police and had a lot of issues going on. And I go downstairs. I've been up for 36 hours, 38 hours, something like that. And he picks me up, and we're driving, and I'm telling him about what happened on my trip that he sent me on. There's the blame. He sent me on. And I said, where are we going? He says, well, we're going to pray for a guy that heard you speak a week ago. I said, what's wrong with him? He said, he hung himself. I said, hung himself dead? And he goes, yeah, dead. I'm like, oh my gosh. They said, they want you to come and raise him from the dead. I'm like, no pressure. So I called Delonda right away. I said, you need to start praying, man. This is intense. So they began praying, and I get to this house. And as I come into the house, there's like 40, 50 people there. And the brother is laying in the middle of the living room on the floor with a blanket up to his throat, you know, to hide the, but his tongue's hanging out, and he's deceased. And my heart was overwhelmed at that moment. I just began to cry. So I asked the people to join. I mean, they were all praying. I said, let's pray and let's find out what we're up against. And we all agreed it was a spirit of death that we were up against. So as we were praying, this brother, he stands up and he says, I believe that if we would repent for not being united as the body of Christ, he'll come back. I'm like, okay. And then we keep praying, and somebody says, well, I believe if his wife repents to him, he'll come back. And his wife, I'm at his head here, and his wife's sitting right there on the floor, and I'm sitting on this side of him. And I'm like, well, that's just too much. I said, hold up. I said, sir, if you're not united with the body of Christ, you better get in line. I said, but that's not going to bring him back. And I said, ma'am, don't let anybody blame you for this. We all agreed it's a spirit of death that was at work here, and you repenting to your husband is not going to bring him back. This is not your fault. And I said, and somebody better get with his daughter that found him and be praying over her for the future, because this brother's sister had hung herself 10 years before. There was something at work in that family line. So when I got done bringing correction, my friend John was in the back of the room. He went, let's go. So I walked out the door and left. But when we blame everybody else for the issues, it's when we get in trouble. We don't get where God wants us to be. We don't accomplish the very thing that God wants to do in us when we're blaming somebody else for what's happened. We're so quick to blame others for how we are. I get it that we're shaped in a young age and that bad things happen at a young age that aren't supposed to. You know, it could be your dad left you, or your mom beat you, or your dad beat you, or your uncle molested you, or I sleep with men because my daddy ignored me, you know, or you know, it could just go on and on and on and on, the things that you do now because of what happened to you when you were a child. And there are terrible things that happen. And I mean, I know there's things that happen that we're not supposed to. They were evil. I mean, the people in the Middle East right now, there's things happening that are just pure evil. That's, you know, some of these people are going to have to live with. You know, I mean, Delonda and I, when we were coming back from Kentucky, we listened to a pastor speaking, and he said that parents that were driven up onto that mountain were literally throwing their kids off of the mountain, off of cliffs to kill them so that the ISIS people wouldn't kill them, so the ISIS people wouldn't rape them, so the ISIS people wouldn't cut their head off. Can you imagine the grief that them people are feeling and are gonna feel? It's terrible. It's a, you know, there's terrible things that happen. But when we begin to forgive people for what they've done, we can begin to be set free. We can begin to move forward in our life. But if you can't let go of those things, we do stay in bitterness. We do blame others for who we are, and we don't move into transformation. We get stuck. And I know we would all say, I don't want to be stuck. Then there's steps that you have to take to not get stuck, to not blame others. Robin Williams committed suicide. That's sad. Man, all kinds of articles come out throwing that blame around about why he did it. They started blaming Hollywood for it. He was tormented spiritually. He was tormented spiritually. I believe a spirit of death and depression had gripped him, and that's why he did what he did. When I do marriage counseling, the first thing I tell people, I say, we're going to talk, but you can't blame your mate for what's happening in your marriage right now. Now, that's really tough sometimes, because if one had an affair, and it's really easy, well, he had an affair or she had an affair. That's the problem right now. But it's really tough not to point the finger at the other person when we're doing marriage counseling. And sometimes I want to point the finger. I find like, oh my gosh, you're an idiot. Come on. you want to point the finger. It's like, ah. But when we start placing blame and we don't just receive what God has for us, because the thing that I walk in is I know that all things work together for good to them who love God and are called according to his purpose. Everything it says in Galatians is for our benefit. Now, I know that can be hard to receive, but God did something in me to receive that scripture so that I can get through this life and do what he's called me to do. To preach what he's called me to preach is that everything's for my benefit. So whatever happens, I seek the Lord about it, and I'm trying, doing my best in this life not to blame the woman. I remember when Pastor Dave used to call me or somebody from the church, I'd say, and they say, hey, we want to talk to you. And I'd be like, Delonda, what did you do? I'd blame the woman. If you take time to examine our own heart and get it right, then healing in relationships can go quicker. Amen? Amen. You think? So number two, he said, number one was the woman he gave me, and the woman... Number two was that you gave me. He blamed God. The woman, you gave me. It's your fault, God. How many of you have ever blamed God for something? I know we don't want to raise our hands on that one. Thank you, Dean. Sometimes, you know, we forget that we live in a fallen world. We live in a world full of sin and evil. And it seems to be ramping up with all the evil that's going on around us. Amen? And there's a lot going on. But this is just one aspect of what happens to us. Our own decisions we make is the other issue. Our own decisions. Adam knew, don't eat of that tree. He knew it, but he made a decision to do it. He knew there was going to be consequences. He did it anyways. And I know that happens in the church too. God will always give us directives. He's given us this. It's full of directives. You know, we don't live by the law, but hey, how many of you know the law is a pretty good thing, huh? Thou shalt not kill. That's a good thing. You know, thou shalt not have no other gods before you. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, thy soul. I mean, those are good things. You know, don't lie, huh? Don't steal. Don't covet your neighbor. Don't covet your neighbor's wife. I mean, these are good things. Not to do, but we're not bound up by the law, but he's given us these things to save us from destruction. He wants us to live a life and life more abundantly. He lays out the word of God to us to show us how people have made mistakes and struggled and then how they overcame or how they didn't overcome. So that we have a witness to see, so we know the consequences of our actions. How many of you know there's consequences for your actions? Either good or bad. Like I said, when God says everything's for my benefit, I believe it. I trust in that. I trust him. Amen? I just trust him wholeheartedly with that. Pages stuck together. I was talking to one person that had an incident as a young person. Was molested at a young age. And the person had forgiven and dealt with most of the hurt. But at one point in life, realized that there was still some unforgiveness and hurt there. So the person went to the Lord with it because they didn't want it. And what the Lord did is the Lord took him back to the time and the situation, and showed the situation through the Lord's eyes. And when it was over, the person just released it to the Lord and totally experienced a freedom. Instead of blaming and saying about this person what they did, it's just total forgiveness to the point of compassion for the person, to the point of praying for the person. You see, that's what God wants to do in us. He wants us to, because when we stay in the blaming, I'm this way because of what they did for me, then we're not going to get free from it, Edward. We stay bound to that thing, and we never reach the full potential of what God has for us. When we start blaming other people, we keep blaming other people, and we blame God. God, where were you in the midst of that? God's always there, amen? Now, he can't stop everything because we have a free will. People have free will. We know. I mean, you just look what's going on in the Middle East right now. Is that God? No. It's evil. It's evil. And something needs to happen there. If you're blaming other people for your decisions you make today, chances are you're making wrong decisions. And the consequences are hurting you. But when we release the people to God, we stop pointing the finger and we stop challenging God with why, then God can move on us. Remember, he's got a plan, amen? He's got a plan to get us where he wants us to be. So, you know, Adam blamed God. Are you blaming God for what's happened to you? Either way, blaming is a part of the fall and the curse that's on mankind. That's part of the fall and the curse that's on mankind. It's because we blame each other and we blame God for our issues. And number three was, he comes to Eve and he says, Eve, what have you done? And she said, that serpent. Eve didn't say, oh, God, I'm so sorry. It was that serpent. And how many of us have done that? Oh, you know, blame each other in a marriage relationship. We blame the wife. We blame the husband. If the kids were just better. If I just had more money. If I just had this. We're always blaming instead of saying, oh, I'm jacked up. I need help. If we could do that, we'd get a lot further. But Eve blamed the serpent. And, you know, I think we give the devil too much credit for what's going on in our lives. We blame him when we run out of gas. We blame him when we get a flat tire. We blame him when we forget to pay the electric bill and it gets turned off. You know, we say things like, the devil's robbing me, when it's simply you didn't do what you were supposed to do. How many of you got a gas needle in the car? You know when you're going to run out of gas. You can see when the tires are getting bad. You know when the electric bill's due. I remember one time in China. See, in China, we didn't get a bill. What we had was a meter in the hallway, in the stairwell. It was on the second floor. And we were walking home one day, and what you did is you had a credit card. You took the credit card to the bank, you paid your money, and then they put your electricity on that card. So you take your card, you'd stick it in the meter for a minute, push a button, you pull the card out, and then you got electricity for however long. So we're walking upstairs one day on a Saturday, and I just glanced at the meter, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, we have six whatever left. That can't be good. You know, because you'd put, you know, hundreds in there at a time. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. So we went upstairs. It was summertime. It was like, okay, turn off the air conditioners, you know, because we had to get up and go to church the next day. I remember wetting a cold washcloth and, you know, putting it on Delonda's feet and stuff. It was just, I mean, Beijing in the summer is just so hot and yucky and just trying to stay cool that night, no TV, windows open, praying for a breeze, you know. And just as Delonda finished blow-drying her hair Sunday morning, the power went out. We were on empty. And I didn't blame God. I blamed the fact that I didn't track my electricity. I didn't blame Delonda because Delonda didn't do anything about that. It was my responsibility to make sure we had electricity. You know, and here it is, the summertime, Jesse, and I'm hot, man. It's like, you know, 90 degrees, 90% humidity, and it's stuffy and stuff. So We went to church, and we went shopping, and we taxi rides. And in a taxi on the way home, it started raining, Dan. It started raining so hard and hailing that I thought we were going to have to park under an underpass because the hail was so big. It was the street just all of a sudden had 3 inches of water in it, and it was just pouring rain and everything. And I'm like, oh my gosh. So even in my mistakes, we went home to open up the windows. That breeze blew through, and we were cool all night till Monday morning to go to the bank to buy electricity. God redeemed my mistake. And God can redeem my mistakes, but when we blame other people, we don't give him a chance to redeem our mistakes. So when we get out of that blame game and we start walking and taking responsibility for who we are, then according to what God says, then we know that God can redeem that situation. I put in my notes here, evaluate, 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 evaluate. There's something about taking responsibility for our actions and confessing them that brings healing to us. Now, if you were molested as a kid, I mean, that's not something you had anything to do with. But if you've been holding it in your heart, you forgive today, amen? You release it to the Lord and say, Father, forgive me for holding on to this, and I just surrender that into your hands. And trust me, I know that that's wrong. I know that's terrible. But when you give it over to the Lord and you allow him to come, You see, you're not letting the person off the hook. You're letting yourself off the hook. Then you don't have to blame anybody for what's happening in you. You can just receive from the Lord. And it's amazing the weight that goes off when you do that. Can you imagine if Adam and Eve would have repented instead of blaming each other? What would have happened? If you could capture the events of your life that you're blaming others for, and just look to Jesus with it and allow him to come so that he can heal who you are. That today we look at the person who is in charge of our decisions, ourselves, and commit to making positive, right decisions for our future. Amen? Let's take responsibility for our lives and put ourselves in the hands of a loving God and allow him to have his way in us so we stop blaming others. Jesus had the answer. He said this in Matthew 5. He said, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. Pray for those who despitefully use you and persecute you. Jesus always had an answer to the fall. It's to love. It's to bless. It's to do good. And it's to pray. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we're here today, Lord, we thank you that you sent Jesus, our great Redeemer. That we don't have to blame others for things the way we are today and things that have happened in our life. But Lord, that we could actually release that to you today. We could give those things over to you, Father, and Lord, so that you can propel us into what you've created us for. Lord, your word declares that you are at work in us for the plan that you have for us. That you're making everything work out according to your plan. And Lord, we know that there's things that happen in this life that aren't part of your plan. But Lord, there are things that shape us. Adam and Eve were shaped by a bad decision of disobedience to you. And Lord, we've all done things that are contrary to your word. We've been forgiven of much. And I pray, Father God, that today we could release other people that we would blame for the decisions we make today. Maybe you're here today and you say, Pastor Ron, there's somebody I just need to release today, and I want to just forgive them. I want to just let it go today. If that's you, just raise your hand right now. Amen. 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 Anybody else? Don't leave here with somebody else having control. Amen. Having control over your life. We want God to have the control. We want to be submitted to God. Why don't we stand today? Praise you, Jesus. Lord, we thank you that you are in control. Thank you, Father God, for those hands that went up today, Lord. We release, Father, those people into your hands. Everybody say, I forgive. Lord, we forgive those that have harmed and come against your children. And Lord, we just pray right now that we not blame other people for who we are. But Lord, we walk in the freedom of who we are in you. I pray a covering of protection and strength over this body of believers today, Father. That Lord, we would arise to the occasion of what you created us for. That, Lord, we no longer be held back by the things of our past. But, Lord, we're moving forward today. We're moving off of our spot into what you've created us for. So, Lord, I thank you that all bitterness and anger be loosed off of us. And Lord, that we'd walk in that freedom of who you are. And we give you praise today, Father, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Praise. Let's give the Lord a clap offering today. Come on. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Jesse and Christine, run out of here so you can get out in the foyer.